So this morning, we have concluded in these last 5 weeks this series called Erasers. And we started in Easter, and we said, what if Easter never happened? What if there never was a cross and an empty tomb? What if that is fabricated? What difference would it make to your life today? What difference would it make for your eternity tomorrow? Where would you find yourself? But we concluded Easter Sunday and with great celebration that this is not a fabrication. This is not a fairy tale. This is not make-believe. These things are true. And we have put our hope and our faith in this historical event and its significance that indeed God sent forth his son born of a woman under the law. And he, Jesus, as a boy grew to be a man. At the age of 33, after living a perfect life, he died a perfect death as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. He is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sins of the world. And the Bible says after his death, he was buried. And the Bible says on that first Sunday morning, Easter Sunday, the stone was rolled away, not so that Jesus could get out, but that we might look in. And it says, the angels on that day to those ladies, he is not here. He is risen. And that word, that message, that truth has split time. Your calendars, my calendar, we say it's year 2017. That is all based upon this significant act of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. Nothing else has the power to split time. Nothing else has the power to change a soul. Nothing else has the power to forgive sin. Nothing else has the power to make a sinner into a saint. It is the gospel of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. And Paul says, we are not ashamed of this. It indeed is the power of God into salvation. This morning, we're going to do something that is significant for us. Hopefully, it is significant to you. And if not, maybe it might become. We're going to take what we call the Lord's Supper. And I want you to listen to me very, very carefully in the next 8 minutes. Because in these next 8 minutes, I'm going to explain something to you that maybe you've never heard before, and for some of you, you have heard, and I want you to hear it, and I want you to grasp it, and I want you to listen to it in light of this. That this week, you're going to have a conversation with somebody in your classroom. This week, you're going to have a conversation with somebody in your office. This week, you're going to have a conversation with somebody on a ball field. This week, after practice is over, maybe you're going to hang out with somebody and you're going to be sitting in somebody's car and you're going to have a conversation. And the conversation is going to come around to God. Maybe the conversation is going to turn to, there's a lot going on in my life and I need some answers. And there you're going to find yourself. And you might think to yourself, I don't know what I'm going to say. So I want you to listen very carefully for in the next 8 minutes, I'm going to tell you what to say. So this is not just for your benefit. If you think this ends with you, you're missing it. This starts with you. It will never end with you. It is for somebody else's benefit. That's why, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, coming to church is so important. You're not just learning for the sake of yourself. You're not the end of the gospel. You are a conduit. You are a river. God wants to flow in you what he wants to flow through you. And you are significantly, sovereignly placed in different circles and in different relationships to leverage that gospel into their lives for their salvation. So we ought not to live selfishly. We are not even should not even look at church as selfish. This is for us and this is for others. And not everybody in Lebanon is here, of course. We couldn't fit a fraction of them here. But because of what we experience here, we go out. We're going out. This week is going to look different in Lebanon, Missouri, because you're going out and you're going to do so on mission. And I'm going to tell you what to say. So the scripture reads it this way. Paul speaking to the church of Corinth, and he says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You see, the gospel is about Jesus who lived a perfect life. On this particular night, it's a Thursday. The Bible says, on this night, he takes bread amongst his disciples, and the scripture says he breaks it, and he says, this is my body, which is given for you. The body of Jesus, ladies and gentlemen, represents the life of Jesus. Now, the life of Jesus is significant because he lived a righteous life. Do you know that you cannot do that On your best day, you can't live righteously before God. I mean, on your best day, with everything working at your benefit, with wind behind your sails, on your best day, the Bible says, even what you think is righteousness, it is before a holy God, filthy rags. Which means you can never attain the favor of God on your own. You can never merit the love and the favor and the acceptance of God on your own. Though many people and throughout this world, multitudes try, it is insufficient, and it is a false hope to believe you could ever arrive at a certain point. You can't do that. There's only one who's done that, and that was the Lord Jesus. Do you know Jesus lived perfectly every single day in every single way, and he never, ever, ever disappointed the Father. Jesus never had to ask forgiveness. Jesus never had to say, I'm sorry. Jesus never had to say, my bad. I own that. I'm not going to do that again. He never had to do that. He lived perfectly. His life was righteous. And by the way, you're either righteous or you're not righteous. It wasn't as if Jesus were righteous most of the time. He was righteous all of the time. If you're not righteous all the time, you're not righteous none of the time. Righteousness is either 100% or it's nothing at all. And so the scripture says his very life has been given for us. That means when you put your faith in Jesus, or this week when you're in that conversation and you're trying to explain to your friend, or you're trying to explain to that teacher, you're trying to explain to that coworker, you're trying to have that conversation with your boss. Yes, you just might because you're that bold. You're having that conversation with your boss. You can let them all know. When you put your faith in Jesus, you no longer have to worry about measuring up to God based upon what you do. You're now trusting what Christ has done and the perfect life he lived to be that which measures up for you. That means when God looks at you, if you're a child of God, or if you will call upon the name of the Lord and become a child of God today, that means God forever looks at you through the lens of the perfect life that Jesus lived. And the Bible says it's in your account. That means when I, 27 years ago, it's May now, May of 1990, 27 years ago, when I put my faith in Jesus, what God did is he put the very righteous life of Christ into my moral, spiritual bank account. That means when God looks up my account, he sees the perfect, righteous life of his son. As one person said it, and I will quote it for the rest of my life, God treated Jesus on the cross as though he lived your life, my life. So in return, God can treat me for the rest of my life as though I lived his. Please take that in, okay? Like, breathe that sigh of relief. That's how good the gospel is, ladies and gentlemen, that God treated Jesus on the cross as though he lived your life. So in return, he could treat you as though you lived his. What we're about to do right now in taking the Lord's Supper, when you take that little piece of bread, that is a reminder. It certainly is not the body of Jesus. It's a wafer from Lifeway, and it's going to taste bad, right? There's nothing tasty about it. It's unleavened bread. It represents the life of Jesus, which is the righteousness of God on my behalf, on your behalf, to anyone's behalf, if you've believed on Jesus. It's into your account. And so when Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you, take and eat, he's saying, celebrate it, memorialize it, give thanks. This is true. You see, apart from that, ladies and gentlemen, you're left simply to be an object of wrath. You stand condemned. You stand under the judgment of God. But all of that can be removed and all of that can be changed when a person chooses to put their faith in Christ. You came here today and maybe you've never done that yet. I'm telling you, before you leave here today, you can call upon the name of the Lord. You can open your heart. You can ask Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. And I'm telling you, into your moral and spiritual bank account for the rest of your life, throughout the rest of eternity, God puts his righteousness, his son, Jesus' righteousness, into your account, which means forever you measure up. And not just by the skin of your teeth, but just as much as Jesus measures up, you are perfect. For by one sacrifice, he has perfected for all time you. That's good news, right? That's such good news. So why would we not share that this week? Why would you not try to get into a conversation with a coworker? Why would you not try to talk to your fellow student or that guy on the ball field? Why would you not try to strike up a conversation with your neighbor to tell them that good news? Where else can you find such good news? You can't That's your opportunity. That's my opportunity this week. I just hope you take it because they need it. They need it. And they need to know. And you need to tell them. There's one guy I heard this past weekend say, if you'll just say something, God just might save somebody. Ain't that good? If you'll just say something, God just might save somebody this week. Will you do it? I hope you would do. He goes on this Thursday night, Jesus says, in the same way, Paul says, he took the cup also, which is this cup, after the supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, and as often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And so when Jesus gave that bread, he said, this is my body, this is my life given for you. That's my righteousness on your behalf. And then he says, but this cup, well, this is the new cup. This is the new covenant in my blood. Now, let me tell you what a covenant is real quick. A covenant is simply a will. It's a will. Now, a will doesn't go into effect until somebody does what? Dies. Man, you're smart. You already knew that, didn't you? The will doesn't go into effect until somebody dies. That means that the new covenant that Jesus was talking about did not take effect, did not come into effect even in the life of Jesus. While he's teaching, while he's preaching, while he's doing miracles, the new covenant had not been established. The new covenant only takes place after somebody, and that is Jesus. After his death, through his shed blood, God enacted the new covenant. Now you say, you wanted me to talk to my boss about the new covenant? Listen, don't get intimidated. Let me just break it down for you real quick and tell you. This is what the new covenant is all about. It's a new economy by which God now relates to us, in which we now can relate to God. Let me tell you how old covenant worked. Old covenant was, if you messed up bad enough, if you screwed up bad enough, all you had was fear and judgment and consequences to look forward to. That's old covenant. Hebrews says there's a new covenant that's made the old covenant obsolete, which means there's a different way now God relates to us. And so now in this new covenant, there's a relationship that is not volatile based upon how well we perform. It is now solid and safe. And listen, it is one of rest that does not change based upon your good day or your bad day, because it is totally dependent upon the commitment and the veracity of Christ on your behalf. Let me break it down this way. David, there's this passage and this story of David. In the Old Testament, he messed up really bad. He had another man's wife, Bathsheba, and then he killed her husband to try to cover it up. Bad deal. Read it sometime. It's bad. David, overwhelmed with guilt, overwhelmed with condemnation, he prays a prayer like this. Lord, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's old covenant. That's how you pray when you're under old covenant. New covenant, 2 Timothy chapter 2, new covenant says, even if I am faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. That's new covenant. We're no longer praying prayers, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. We might have to pray prayers like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Please, I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry I grieved your spirit. We can pray those types of prayers, but we're not wondering and we're not fearful anymore that God's removing himself from us, that his Holy Spirit is being taken from us, because the Bible says in this new relationship, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, until the day of redemption. It is solid. It is not going anywhere, and it does not change even on our worst day. That's new covenant, ladies and gentlemen. That means in this now relationship with God, we're no longer getting confused with religion. This is a relationship, and this relationship, God says, I'm going to stay true to you even if you don't stay true to me. I'm going to stick with you even if you choose not to stick with me. And on your worst day, it's still going to be my best day, and I'm going to remain faithful to you. And in this relationship, you can rest. You can rest. Hebrews chapter 4 says, in this now relationship under this new covenant, we now rest. Why? Because there's no more work to be done. What do you mean? Because the work has been accomplished. The work has been finished. Jesus lived sinlessly. He died perfectly. And he rose again victoriously. It is a done deal. And when you or I put our faith in that, this week when you're talking to your friend, you can tell your friend, when you put your faith in that, when you're talking to your coworker, you can say, when you put your faith in that, when you're having that conversation because you're that bold with your boss, and say, sir, when you put your faith in that, when you put your faith in Christ, You can rest now in a relationship for the rest of your life, knowing that between you and God, all things are well because Jesus Christ made it well. That's the good news. Hey, you ought to have a conversation this week. If you say something, God just might save somebody. If you say something this week, God just might save somebody. Hey, today we have the opportunity through the Lord's Supper to proclaim it as we celebrate this. This is not a means, by the way, depending upon which background you came from and which denomination has taught you certain things, we do not believe what we're about to do is going to give you any extra grace to help you with any sin, standing, problem. This is not that. This is an opportunity to be reminded, to celebrate, to thank God for the perfect life of Jesus, a perfect death, a glorious resurrection that has provided a new covenant whereby now you and I were made right with God. We rest in it, and our hope is in his sufficiency, not our goodness. You want to celebrate it now? Are you ready for it? I hope you are. So our servants, they're going to go back and they're going to get the elements. And let me just tell you how this is going to work. They're going to pass down these rows, and it's going to be two cups. There's going to be a cup at the bottom that has the juice, okay? And there's going to be a cup at the top, and it's going to have that, you know, very unappetizing piece of bread. And what I want you to do is I want you to twist that, okay? And I'm giving you these specific instructions because you're looking pretty out there, and I don't want this to fall on you and ruin your shirt. And so you twist it, okay? And so then you're going to have these two cups in front of you. Now, when I was younger, I would be sitting at my grandma's table or my mom's table, and as a little kid, they fix all that, supper, that great dinner. It's usually a Sunday dinner, and as a little kid, you're just kind of just ready to dig into it. Well, you can't dig into it. Everybody's not seated down, right? And so, you know, grandma would come along and slap your hand, or mom would say, no, you wait, and, for everybody to come to the table. And so Paul, he's actually writing this to this church because they were taking the Lord's Supper and they were doing it all wrong. Come on, guys. Come on down here. I'm going to talk while you're doing this. They were doing this all wrong. And so what they were being reminded of is, listen, you ought to take this in a way that is not just mannerly, but is biblical. As you guys go ahead and start passing this out, follow me here. You don't have to wait today because of manners. But I will say that you will do it at your appropriate time personally for the sake of connection with God. Because see, some of you, you are in Christ. Some of you know Jesus. Some of you, just like me, there's a particular point in your life. Mine was May 1990. There's a particular point in your life that you put your faith in Jesus and all what I just described became yours. But maybe today, maybe you're not where you ought to be as far as a relationship with God. Maybe your walk with God's grown stagnant. Maybe you've become complacent. Maybe due to fear, sin, tragedy, all things in your life. Maybe you have just found yourself growing distant from the Lord. Well, see, this is not only time to give thanks. This is the time to have some real heart inspection and introspection. And honestly, kind of jumpstart your spiritual life again. It's an opportunity just to come clean with Jesus and say, you know, God, I am sorry. I'm sorry. You're not asking God to forgive you. If you're in Christ, he's already done that. But you're saying, hey, I'm sorry. I'm sorry my faith has grown cold. I'm sorry my walk has grown stale. I'm sorry I've chosen things of this world over you. I'm sorry that I've been giving you a stiff arm for this season or maybe many seasons. I'm sorry I've walked away. God, I'm sorry I've played the prodigal. Today, I want to come back. Today, I want to start again, I want to start fresh. And here's the good news. You can start every day fresh with God. And you can walk 1,000 steps away from him. It only takes one to come back. So you say, today, I want to take that one back. Okay, good. And so when you have that conversation with the Lord and you feel in your heart, okay, I'm ready to walk forward. Well, then you partake. You don't have to wait to the person to your right. You don't have to wait to the person to your left. You can simply partake. And after you've had a chance to do that, we're going to sing one song together and then we're going to depart. The band is going to lead us. So this is a holy moment. You say, Matt, I don't even know if I know Jesus. Well, then let's make sure you do. would you right now, sir, would you right now, ma'am, would you just bow your head? And would you just pray a prayer such as this? God, everything that guy just said, today I believe it. I believe in the perfect life of Jesus. I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe you rose again the third day. And I believe life can be found in you alone. So I turn all of my life, I turn all of my heart, I turn my eyes, I turn to you. And I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. Because starting today, even though I really don't know how, I really want to, I want to follow. Hey, if you just prayed that, if you just meant that, listen, it doesn't matter if you're a grandpa, and it doesn't matter if you're graduating from preschool. If you just prayed that and understood that in your heart, to the best of your ability, you just prayed that to God. That's a prayer God answered. Jesus is now your personal Lord. He's your personal Savior. That means you have a relationship with God. And that means your sins are forgiven. That means you're standing before God is forever settled. You now are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you're now an ambassador for Christ for the rest of your life to all that you live, work, and play with, as though God will want to make his appeal through you. Hey, welcome to the family. Welcome to the journey. Welcome to a relationship that you get to rest in. You say, is it really that good, Matt? Oh, friend, it's really that good. And it's better than my capacity has to describe it. At the end and conclusion of this service, please come and tell somebody. Please find either me or find Steve up here. Find one of these guys in the band up here. All of them know Jesus. They're not just good musicians. They know Jesus. Come tell one of us. Hey, I prayed that prayer. I gave my life to Jesus. I prayed that prayer. Let us have the opportunity to rejoice with you. Let's have the opportunity to congratulate you. That's a big honking deal what you just decided. Don't leave here today without somebody knowing that you did it. So you're going to be stayed seated. And guys, if you would come forward and y'all sing and you partake as you feel led. At the end of their song, I'm going to pray and we're going to depart. Yeah. So Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the celebration. From the very beginning to those who were baptized, to our babies and our parents dedicating themselves, their children, a church partnering with them, Lord, to understanding and seeing and hearing again this blessed gospel. It is the power of God into salvation, the opportunity to celebrate the Lord's Supper, to proclaim your death until you come, and to be reminded this week that we, as we go, we are your ambassadors. You want to make your appeal through us. May our yes be on the table. We say we're following, Father, followers fish this week. May we fish. If we'll say something, you just might save somebody. May that happen this week in Lebanon, Missouri, in different classrooms, different hallways, different office spaces, in homes, in vehicles, over the phone. God, may that take place. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you so very much. See you back next week. We start Revelation.